I guess we should go ahead and get started. I think we're trying to limit the breaks in between these items. So for the, I guess, the last 45 minutes or 40 minutes, however much is left, we're going to be talking about ASP.NET and Azure. My name's Syed Abraham Hashimi. I'm going to be showing you the ASP.NET 5 and Azure items, and then Brady Gaster will come on to join me as well to show some stuff that we have for ASP.NET 4. So how many people have tried to publish an app into an ASP.NET 5 app into Azure? All right, we got a few hands here. Okay, so was that all on Azure Web Apps, or anybody tried on Docker or any VM? No, okay. We got one guy for Docker, I would imagine. Okay, cool. Awesome. So before we get into the demos and what's new, basically I want to go ahead and give you guys an overview of what's happening on the Azure SDK. So we're working on getting core CLR support for all the Azure SDK and management libraries, the SQL, ADAL, and storage. And all the management libraries are either already supporting core CLR today or they're close to supporting that. And we're also working right now to make Azure, you know, the best host for ASP.NET 5. We're not quite there yet, but after things kind of settle down a little bit, after we get past RC, we're going to be looking at ways that we can improve the both the publishing and the startup times. And one way that we're looking at doing that is to cache the packages as well as runtimes on the server side. Today, you know, you're probably publishing for full .NET framework. You're probably publishing probably about 30 megs of packages and runtime. So if we're able to cache those on the remote server side, then it would basically decrease that 30 megs down to about probably about 5 megs, actually. Okay, so for those of you who've already used Azure Web Apps, formerly called Azure Websites, you know that the portal has app settings and connection strings that you can associate with any website. For ASP.NET 4, you know, they kind of, Azure Web Apps had to pretty much kind of hack into the config system by using Reflection. Now with ASP.NET 5, they don't have to do those sorts of hacks. All they do is they create an environment variable, and then our templates are set up to where those environment variables will just kind of flow through into the config. So I've got my Visual Studio loaded up here. I've got the app service node here, so I can show you guys real quick where you can set those app settings and connection strings in your website as well, right here from Visual Studio. So if you were to right-click here and say View Settings, all the connection strings and app settings that you set here will be saved on the remote Azure side, and then they'll just kind of flow through. So one of the big changes that we've made for ASP.NET 5 is having a pluggable config system. So this kind of enables us, you know, to kind of abstract the persistence of the config. So one thing I was trying to do was I wanted to see if I can use Azure Key Vault have some secrets in Azure Key Vault, and then how difficult would it be for me to plug that into an ASP.NET V5 project? So I've created this sample here. I'm going to go ahead and I've got it up on GitHub here. So I'll go ahead and open that. But you know, obviously, this is like a security-related thing. So I didn't publish what I have to the NuGet.org. And the code I have here is really just for reference, and it's a very basic provider. If you wanted to, you know, do this in your production apps, then you'd probably want to take a little bit more time to create a better provider. And also, I'll work with the teams here to try to line this up for getting something created by the team as well. All right, so I've created that config provider. Let me open up a new instance of Visual Studio here, and then I'm going to show you how can I take that config provider and then plug it into a new web project that I create here. Okay, so that's fine. So I'll go ahead and pick that. So, all right, so web application. Okay. while this creates, one of the features that I'm going to show you guys that we have in Visual Studio 2015 for ASP.NET 5 is being able to add projects from other folders into your solution automatically. And we're going to pretty much leverage that for this demo. So on disk, I have the code. I've cloned the repo locally, and then on disk I have the code in this particular folder here, so I'm just going to go ahead and copy that out. And I want to go ahead and add this to my solution. I could either, the best way to add this is to open up, actually let me set my fonts real quick, should have done this ahead of time, sorry about that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the that path that I have here and then just paste it into global.json. And this is basically like the search path for where projects will be found at. So I'm going to go ahead and add that as an additional search path. You could always copy and paste that folder into your SRC folder. All right, so now what I want to do is go ahead and add a reference to this project here. So it's just Syed Key Vault config. And I'll take the empty value there. After a minute, after a second, we should see that it's kicking off a package restore. In this case, we will detect that it's not actually a package that we're bringing in, but it's actually a new project here. So we can see down here that we've added this Syed Key Vault config. Okay. All right, so now, in order to use the, well, has anybody used Azure Key Vault, I guess? Okay, so we've got, wow, I think just one hand. Okay, so that's fine. I think the Key Vault, or a couple hands. The Key Vault is like a relatively new service. So one thing I have to make a change to this project.json, what I created doesn't support the Core 5.0, but I'll try to find the right people to contact on this, and hopefully we can get something that does support both full .NET framework and the Core CLR. So with Key Vault, there's like a you still need a client ID and a client secret in order to actually access the vault that you have. So the concept is, you know, you'll go ahead and set up your Key Vault. And you'll do that with PowerShell today, but hopefully later on we'll have some better experience in the Azure portal, and then maybe even eventually getting something in Visual Studio. But the idea is you'll go ahead and create your Key Vault with PowerShell, and then you'll add all your secrets. And then what you can do is you can associate applications with the Key Vault. So you can say, hey, give me a new client ID and secret, and grant this ID, you know, these various different permissions, like, you know, getting secret values, listing secret values, adding new values, so on and so forth. So when you publish your apps, if there comes a time where one of your client IDs gets compromised, you can always turn that client ID off, generate a new client ID, and then republish your app. But when we're talking about, you know, when we're talking about creating a provider for Key Vault, we need some way that we can feed in the client ID and client secret without actually hard coding that into our app. And the solution that I used was just using environment variables. So I'm going to create an environment variable, and I'll show you that how I do that. But I'll create an environment variable for the client ID, the client secret, and then the Azure Key Vault URI. When using Visual Studio, you know, if I wanted to, I could go in the command line, set the environment variables, and then launch devm.exe, and then those environment variables would be there. But obviously, that's going to make it difficult if you want to switch from one set of variables to another set. So there is another feature that we have that we can leverage this, and they're called the launch settings. And you can see the you can see these on the debug tab. So on the debug tab, now you can create different profiles for what would happen when you when you run or debug your app. For a web project, we'll have an IIS Express profile created by default, but you can create new profiles. And one section that I have here is ASP.NET environment. So this is changing to hosting colon environment. In this case, I can also go ahead and paste in my client ID and secret. So let me take these values. I'm just going to paste these in. Then I'll add the client secret. Okay, and then I'm going to grab this value here and paste that in. And then I'm going to take my Key Vault URI and add that one in. All right, so let me go ahead and save that. All right, at this point, now I need to go ahead and modify my startup.cs in order to enable Key Vault here. So so if I wanted to do a similar thing with ASP.NET 4, I would have had to create my own abstraction on top of the config system and then modify all my code to then call that abstraction. With ASP.NET 5, we already have that abstraction in place. Okay, so let me do add. Oops, I have to add the using statement. All right, so Syed Key Vault config. All right, add Key Vault. All right, so I'll say get environment variable, Key Vault URI. And then the next, argument here is the client secret. So I'll do environment get. Oh, sorry, it should be client ID, I think. And the next one, yeah, okay. Okay, so now I've added the Key Vault here. So let me show you what I have inside that Key Vault. Or do I have it here? Might be the wrong one, actually. Okay, so that's fine. That's okay. So I have I've created two app settings inside this Key Vault. I'm just going to use this spot right here to go ahead and grab it. Oops. And I also have the connection string. All right, so var. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and run this, and then let's take a look if I was able to actually get those, to get the Key Vault values out of it. Okay, it's over here. Okay, that's fine. Okay, so let's take a look. While that's going on, let me see if I can show you those values at the same time. Okay, all right. All right, so here I can see that I've got the, I asked the config system for Syed first key and it returned to me some string here. And then I pasted in my connection string as well for the other value here. And I can see I've got Azure connection string here. So obviously these are just dummy values that we have there. But the main point is here, I haven't had to actually significantly modify my app. All I had to do is bring in a new dependency. and then enable this new config provider to my app. And let me go ahead and show you how easy it is to create a provider like this. So we can go ahead and look at the code here. I just have two classes here. Sorry, wrong file was opened. Let me open up the utilities class that I have first. Let me stop debugging here. So we can see this is really just an extension method that gets used inside the provider, but it's pretty small, like 30 lines of code, I guess. And then the key vault provider here, this is pretty basic as well. We can see that I grabbed the three different properties that we had inside the environment variable. And then when the provider is created, I'll go ahead and save off those values and create a client at the same time. And then we just have a try get here. So this will go ahead and get the connection string, the app setting. And you know, if it's not found, it'll go ahead and return false. That way the call can cascade down to the other providers there. And then here's that extension method. So you know, altogether, maybe it was about 90 lines of code. It took me more time to get my vault set up and all the right PowerShell calls and whatnot than it actually did for me to write the code for the ASP.NET 5 provider here. So that's how easy it is to kind of, you know, integrate the Azure Key Vault with ASP.NET 5. Any questions on this? Is anybody excited about Azure Key Vault? You know, when I think about it, you know, I always think about secrets and, you know, always have a tough time managing secrets. And when customers ask me, you know, what should I do with my secrets, I don't always have a good answer. But, you know, now with Azure Key Vault, I think I do have, you know, a pretty good answer. So for me, I'm pretty excited about it. What about you guys? Are you guys thinking about using the Key Vault or? Some people are. Okay, should we add support in Visual Studio for making, you know, using the Key Vault a lot easier and whatnot? Okay, so we're all hearing yes. Okay, so, all right, so that's cool. All right, so that was pretty much my Key Vault demo. Let's take a look. What else do we have here? Docker. Okay, all right, so we, you know, Glenn went ahead and did a pretty deep dive on Docker. And he went into, you know, the internals of Docker and how you would interact with that on command line and from a cross-platform perspective. I've got the latest Docker tools installed here. I've got the latest Docker tools installed here. Let me show you what we can do now. Let me close out of this. So I've got my project here. I can go ahead and right-click publish. And then on the profile tab here, after you install the Docker tools, you'll notice that there's a new option to publish to Docker containers right on the publish dialog here. All right, so if I was to pick that, I can go ahead and go into create new here. So I can pick either existing Docker virtual machines, or I can create new Docker VMs here. All right, let me go ahead and I'm not going to actually create a whole VM here, but let me show you guys the list of options here for Docker VM. So, I'm not sure if this is a new thing in the beta 8 release of Docker or if it was in a previous build, but in either case, now with the latest build at least, we do have support to target Windows Docker containers here. So, I actually created a published profile for the Windows Server Docker container. And you can also pick from any Linux image that's available on Azure as well. Okay, so let me go ahead and minus that. I've already created a Docker profile. Let me go ahead and go into it. So here's where we are. There's not really that many properties here. You know, the important part is really the URL and also the Docker file. Which gets created. Okay, so that was that. So actually creating the Docker image and whatnot actually takes a lot of time. So I'm not going to actually run through that here, but this is the basic Docker image. But you know, then obviously this can be customized if you need to open certain ports. or add any other dependencies there, that's where you would start modifying this file. And then the next time you published, this Docker template will be used instead of the default file that's there. All right. So one other thing that we've recently been talking about, but we haven't made any specific progress on is remote debugging of Docker. So I'm not sure if you guys know, but when you're developing apps with Visual Studio with Azure Web Apps in the Server Explorer here, you can right click and say debug, you can right click and say attach debugger. So unfortunately, we broke this in beta 8 with the HTTP platform handler, but that's something we will be changing soon. But before that, so we had remote debugging working for ASP.NET 5 and Azure Web Apps, and we are now looking at doing remote debugging for Docker. Would that be something that people are interested in, remote debugging of Docker containers? Okay, all right, seems pretty exciting. Now, should we do that only for Windows? Okay, all right, we should try to do it for for everybody, okay. All right, so that's awesome, okay. Oh yeah, by the way, for people, I don't know, I wasn't paying too close attention when Glenn was covering the Docker stuff, but for those of you guys who are cross-platform, we do have a Docker template in the Yeoman generators for ASP.NET, so you can get those from the generator ASP.NET package. Okay, so that was that. So that's pretty much my Docker info. Now what I want to show you, let me open up this other sample here. So I have a sample that Pranav gave to me. So this is a very basic console app that shows how can we use Azure Cache, or I guess Azure Redis, I'm not sure how they're calling these, but it's Redis behind the scenes, but how can we use Azure Cache within a ASP.NET 5 console app. So that's my next demo here. It's pretty basic. Let me show you guys the code here. All right, so the cache is already pretty much been configured at this URL here. So it's Pranav's name here. And then we've got the password and whatnot pretty much hard-coded. We could have gotten this password from some other secure store, like let's say the Key Vault, or you can persist it wherever you want. Okay, and then we go ahead and we set the value, and then we just get the value out of it. So let me go ahead and run this real quick, and we'll just verify that Pranav's code actually does work. So we'll see. Okay, so let's go ahead and step through this. All right, so here's where he creates a new instance of this Redis cache. Okay. Go ahead and set the value to this particular string that has a date inside of it. And then we're gonna see if we can go ahead and get that value back out. All right, so now we get the value back out. There we go. So I'd have to, let me quick watch this, I guess. Yeah, there we go. Okay. All right, so that was pretty much using the Azure Cache from an ASP.NET 5 app. So one limitation that we have right now is, and the code here is based on, there's a Redis sample in GitHub, so it's github.com/ASP.NET/caching, and then you'll see a samples folder, so it pretty much follows that, and then you can see how I just configured it to point to Azure right here from this value here. So we'll work with Pranav to go ahead and get the core CLR support for this as well, but we're not quite there yet. Okay, so how many people are using Redis today? Okay, and how many are using from Azure? Okay, that's a decent percentage, okay. All right, I think that might be everything. Let me just double check. Yeah, pretty much. Okay, so that's pretty much everything that I had going. So some stuff that we're going to be working on improving is, like, enabling the remote debugger, remote debugging with Docker, The streaming logs are not working right now either. That's another thing that we'll work on. And then we've got Brady, who's creating a whole bunch of cool features for ASP.NET 4, and then hopefully we'll be able to move some of those features to ASP.NET 5 as well. Was there any questions of ASP.NET 5 in Azure before I let Brady go ahead and take the stage? Okay, down here first.
Does that deploy to Docker just for app services, or is that cloud services and app services?
Okay, so the question was, does it deploy to Docker for app services or cloud services? So the Docker service is something totally different. And I believe it's actually based more on the virtual machine infrastructure. Yeah, but to you it would be, you know, you could imagine Docker service being kind of similar to cloud service or web app. Does that kind of answer your question? It's a separate thing, basically. I saw another question back there.
Yeah, just the back to the key vault. That would kind of enable like some interesting scenarios if you've got a distributed team you want to share values for. But are the keys, can you add, I missed the first part there.
Can you add what?
I missed the first part there. Are you able to add multiple keys to the same key vault?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, good question. So the question is, can we add multiple, I think, client IDs to the same key vault, right? So imagine you have a key vault that's basically serving your entire application, and you know it can have different client IDs. Like you might create a client ID for your web API, and then you might create a client ID for your web app, and then they can have different permissions, and then you can turn those on and off as you need. One thing that I don't know is, you know, within one key vault, can I segregate secrets, you know, to one app and another? I don't know if it has that fine-grained permission saying, hey, this app is allowed this list of secrets. That I don't know. But I do know that you can create as many client IDs as you want, and you can grant them specific permissions like listing all secrets, getting secret values, editing secrets, so on and so forth. Does that kind of answer your question? Yeah, so the part that I showed you guys is what's called secrets. There's another concept that's called keys. I actually don't know a whole lot about what that concept is, but I think Mike is here. So if you want, we can talk chat offline with somebody who is actually more of an expert in the key vault space. Yep. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, off to Brady.
Yep.
Which one is it? Okay, my VM has decided to go out of full screen mode. So I apologize in advance. Interesting. Okay. Kind of a drag. Oh well, let's go ahead and party on it. All right, I'm Brady Gaster, if you guys don't know me. Work with the other two members of the tooling trio here. My job on the tooling trio is to help you get into the cloud. So what we've been doing is we've been listening to some of the feedback that we've gotten, not only from you guys, but from our broader community, and most importantly from our management. So we want to make it easier for you to be able to create your different resources in Azure above and beyond your web app, mobile app, API app, everything in app service. So what the app service tooling team has kind of been doing is to come up with ways to make it easier during during creation and to make it easier during publishing and everything in between for you to be able to create your different assets in Azure. Quick quiz. Does anybody remember the one asset type that we let you create that isn't a member of app service?
Oh,
There's only one other type of asset we let you create, SQL databases. So when you create a new web app, you have the option of being able to create a new SQL server and a new SQL server database to go inside of that guy. How many of you use anything in Azure other than App Service and SQL? Anybody use Redis, Service Bus, you name it. All kinds of other good stuff that you can create, right? Well, what we want to do is give you the ability to create that stuff at the same time that you'll be creating your actual web app or your API app up in App Service. So what I've got over here is a quick little snapshot of the portal. Sorry again for this VM not going back into full screen. But in this portal UI, you'll see that I have a development resource group, and I don't have any assets in that resource group. That's the whole, like, there's nothing up my sleeve except for tattoos of my kids. So what I'm going to do real quickly is I'm going to switch over to VS, and what I'm going to do is really just kind of show you everything new. Okay, and when I say everything new, I mean everything that we have coming out in the 2.8.1 release of the Azure SDK. And what we've done is we've actually split the Web Tools extension stuff was kind of bundled in with the Azure SDK. And what we heard from the Azure SDK users was that it was making the SDK size pretty large. So what we've done is we've actually split our code so that now we have a WTE stuff, which is everything that the rest of these guys contribute to the box. And then we have the WTA stuff, which is everything that we could theoretically ship out of band only with the Azure SDK. We're affectionately referring to this as our WTF release as a result of the fact that we're splitting things. You can kind of imagine how hard our devs have been at work on this stuff. I think Mike's been averaging something like 700 hours a week of straight coding. So he's definitely bending space-time. So what I'm going to show you real quickly over here in the Server Explorer in my VS window, this will surface up in all the normal places. You'll be able to do this from the Server Explorer until we are completely 100% in Cloud Explorer. You'll be able to do it from Cloud Explorer. You'll also be able to do it from the right-click publish gesture. But what we've done is we've actually created an entire new UX. So the first thing I'll do is I'll go ahead and do create new app, and you'll see that, wow, this isn't gray anymore. We're actually using the themes that we have within VS, and we're making it look a lot nicer. We're sort of following along with the connected services guys by trying to clean up some of the UI and modernize it a little bit. What you'll see first and foremost is that we have everything that you need and love about your hosting plan directly on that first page, because we sort of consider this to be our hero scenario. Most of you are only going to be creating your stuff in App Service, your web apps, your mobile apps, and all that goodness. But we also wanted to give you the ability to create additional services as well. That's why you see that additional services tab over there. We're going to get to that in just a moment. The first thing I want to do is I've got my development resource group selected right here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create a new app service plan. First thing I want to show you, now we're cleaning up the UI. This is stuff that we've taken a break on to finish up our 2.8 work. We're going to pick it back up next week. This should go out end of November. So you'll be able to see this stuff in the 2.8.1 release coming out in late November. So the first thing you'll notice is that we have a size menu right here. Previously, you would have to create a new resource group and a new app service plan, then flip to the portal and change the SKU. We didn't like making you do that, and neither did the app service team. So now we're giving you the ability to create all the different supported sizes right here. So if you want to create a standard, you can create a standard. There's no more portal dance where you have to flip things. Just for the sake of my management's bill, I'm going to go ahead and leave that on free for the time being. I'm going to call this guy some MVP site plan. Just go ahead and do this. I'll click OK right here. Now what you're going to see is we're pretty much ready to go ahead and create everything. But one thing that I want to show you before I do that is this handy save button down here in the bottom left-hand area. Now, what we're thinking is that in 2.8.1, that save button will probably be hidden, but you guys have already seen it, so we're probably gonna, if you want it, we can give you the reg key, you can turn it on. We don't have that particular feature perfected yet, but let me show you what it does. Before I do, how many of you just love writing ARM templates? You live and breathe to write ARM templates. I know you don't. All right, well, I don't like it very much, so I like the ability to actually create things like that. So I've gone ahead and done a quick little create. Open up my Explorer window, go to desktop, And what you'll see right here is that I've got my MVP demo guy. If I pop that open in VS, what you should see, what you should see is handy ARM JSON right here. So the idea behind that, if I flip back over to my VS where I've got all this stuff running, I go ahead and click create. Now I've saved that stuff out, but when I click create, I'm actually going to be creating, for all intents and purposes, my development environment. I'm going to be creating my app service plan in my dev environment, my new web app in my dev environment. And what's really nice about this feature, the way we've got it wired up right now, as soon as the create finishes, the dialog is going to go away, and you'll see that we're automatically refreshing your server and or Cloud Explorer, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. You'll see that now that I have a web app in this guy, there's my web app. If I were to flip over to the portal here, you'll see that that's actually been created. I'd have to refresh it here. But there you go. So that's actually already created. Not only did you notice that we are able to do this 100% in ARM, and we give you the export capability to save that JSON file to your desktop, but it seems like it went a little bit faster, right? That's because we've totally overhauled and rewritten all the goodness of the Azure Tools stuff in the WTE box. That's what we probably spent the last 3 months doing. My devs are in the back of the room up here, Mike Lorbetsky and VJ. They've worked really, really hard on this, so I want to thank them for all their diligent work. Now, what I've got over here is an instance of my PowerShell ICE running, and you'll see that what I've done is I've opened up the JSON file that I just created, and I'm actually using the PowerShell stuff, which you can see right here in this article on ACOM, deploying an application with Azure Resource Manager templates. This walks through the entire process of you installing the new PowerShell 1.0 stuff, partying on it, creating a resource group, using your template, so forth and so on. So what I'm gonna do over here, I'm just gonna go to this guy and I'm gonna hit run script. First thing I'll need to do is actually log in to my PowerShell instance. Give it my Hotmail account here. Tab out. Now you're going to see it flash a few times. That's because it's loading up all my different accounts. Flash, 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 flash. I have to pick on Vittorio for this. Feel free to help me with that. Okay. Now what's going to happen is it's going to run out. It's going to run my template up in Azure. Once that template has been executed, we will have a brand new resource group with yet one more web app in it, and the app service plan to go along with that guy running right up in Azure. Shouldn't take that long to run. Once it has finished, I can go back over to my browser and I can refresh it. But before I do that, I'm actually gonna go ahead and open up a new project. So this guy's already run. If I flip over here to my Azure guy and I hit refresh, you should see that we have a brand new staging resource group. I didn't have to do anything special. I literally just took the topology that I just created from that create dialog, changed a couple of parameters in it, re-executed things, and everything else lights up. Now, what I'm gonna show you real quickly over here, if I go to the create new web app guy, is I go over to services, what you'll see is almost like WebPI. That was sort of the inspiration for this, inspiration used lightly. Okay, but we like the idea of being able to add things to your Azure shopping cart, and then you know you get like a one-shot create of everything. But what we've also got over here is a recommended and an all. So I'm just gonna go ahead and go to all, and you'll see that we still only have one guy in there. What we've done in a lot of the different areas of this new UX, so we've actually created almost an SDK. So what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna open up this Microsoft.cache project, or solution rather. What this is effectively a V6 project. And all it does is it sits on top of all the new contracts, and it gives you the ability to create new providers so that you can light up new services directly in that guy. Now if I hit F5 here, now that I've got this thing loaded, I'm gonna load up a new experimental instance. Mike's probably gonna wave his arms and say, control F5, control F5. So this guy's gonna load up. And now if I go over here one more time, is it logged me in? Shoot, I'm not logged in. That's annoying. I'm gonna close this guy down. My creds have expired in the experimental instance. I'm just gonna do debug without, or run without debugging. Maybe my creds will be consistent across this guy. Expand my Azure node here. There we go. Oh. this could get troublesome because this is sort of a experimental thing that I've got going on. I know I can't refresh right there. Let's see if I can log out and log back in. My apologies. Sign out. Close this. And this is not like a true environment. This is really just a Franken build. Log in one more time. I never use that email address. Feel free to spam it. Nothing against Hotmail. Log myself back in. We should be able to see our Azure stuff once this guy completes the login process. Do-do-do. All right, now we go. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here to App Service one more time. I'm going to do Create New App. And go over to Services. And now I'll select All. And what you'll see is that now we have the ability to create a Redis cache here as well. Now the idea behind this is we have previously been asked by guys like DocDB, Service Bus, a lot of other teams. We'd really like for you to give people the ability to create our types of resources in Azure the same way you make it really, really easy for users to create SQL databases in Azure. We look at them and we go, you know, that's great and everything, but we only have, you know, a couple of devs who can work 700 hours a week. And there's this thing called prioritization. So what we're doing is we're effectively opening up some areas of the Azure Tools box to make it extensible so that first and foremost, internal partners can not only help us get their stuff into the box more rapidly, but also help you guys create the resources that you're gonna need the same time that you create your web apps. The next step beyond this is to give us to give you guys the ability to do things similar to, you can call it like a post-deployment action, so that if you actually go out and you create a web app and a Redis cache and a whole bunch of other stuff, let's say you want to make use of the Redis NuGet. Let's say you want to configure your web config or your JSON config automatically to use Redis session management. You'll be able to dial all that stuff in after your deployment is actually complete. So this is kind of the direction that we're going in. John's waving his arms at me. Luckily, I'm finished. This is sort of the future. We hope you like it. If you don't like it, please tell us what other stuff you'd like to see in there. We're also trying to prioritize what we're going to put in this box. So if you have any feedback on that, feel free to let me know. And again, our devs are here, so if you want to talk to them, take a couple of questions. I don't want to hold you up from lunch.
Any time frame when we can compete?
If you haven't gotten lunch yet, now's a good time. You can run out
there. Okay. Pardon me?
Any time frame when we will get this?
The question about time frame. All NDA in here, so I think I can say this. End of November. End of November 2.8.1. So.
It's not really NDA. Everything here is not NDA.
Okay. Everything's not. That's not really a secret.
How badly do you want that to be kept a secret?
I don't really want to be kept a secret. We have new stuff coming out by Thanksgiving.
We're recording this. We're going to put it on Channel
9. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's fine. All right. End of November. So. Cool. Hope you guys like it. Have fun.